بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. The topic for this day is قرآن A Dictionary of Truth. I happened to meet an educated Muslim during conversation. He said, I have read several translations of the Quran and I can say that all the translations are wrong. I asked him to give some example. He said the very first verse of the Quran is a proof. He said that in the beginning Quran says ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. All the translation, all the scholars translate this verse in these words. This is the book. There is no doubt about it. He said book is not right translation because Quran is an encyclopedia. So the correct translation is that it is an encyclopedia. I said that, my brother, you are wrong. You know what is encyclopedia? Encyclopedia means a book that gives information on encyclopedia is a book that gives information on all branches of knowledge. Do you think that Quran is such kind of encyclopedia? I said that you cannot find details of anything in the Quran. For example, it is not mentioned in the Quran in what year Muhammad was born, in which year the first revelation he received, in which year he migrated from Mecca to Medina, what was the number of his companions. So all these informations are absent in the Quran. So how you can say that Quran is an encyclopedia? No. Quran is a book and Quran gives only the basic knowledge, basic truth, not the detailed truth. Encyclopedia gives you all the details, but Quran gives you only the basics, not the details. Now, according to my study, I can say that Quran is a book of, Quran is a ڈکشنری آف ٹروتھ. قرآن از اے ڈکشنری آف ٹروتھ. اٹ مینس دیٹ آل کائنڈ آف ٹروتھ, ناٹ انفارمیشن. انفارمیشن از اے ویری جنرل ٹرم. اٹ از ناٹ مائی کلیم دیٹ آل کائنڈ آف انفارمیشن از پریزنٹ ان دا قرآن. نو, آئی سے دیٹ آل کائنڈ آف ٹروتھ یو کین فائنڈ ان دا قرآن. ٹروتھ مینس ہو ایم آئی, واٹ از دا پرپز آف لائف, ہو از دا کریٹر آف گاڈ, واٹ از دا کریشن پلان آف گاڈ, واٹ از پری ڈیتھ پیریڈ, واٹ از پوسٹ ڈیتھ پیریڈ. آل دیز تھنگس پرٹین ٹو ٹروتھ, دا ایشو آف ٹروتھ. سو ان قرآن یو کین فائنڈ آل کائنڈ آف ٹروتھ, آل دا کوشچنس آف ٹروتھ, دا آنسر آف آل دا کوشچنس آف ٹروتھ. ان دس سینس آئی کین سے دیٹ قرآن از اے ڈکشنری آف ٹروتھ, ناٹ این انسائیکلوپیڈیا. دین ہاؤ وی بلیو دیٹ قرآن از این آتھینٹک سورس آف ٹروتھ از دا فسٹ کوشچن. دا فسٹ کوشچن ان دس ریگارڈ از دیٹ ہاؤ وی کین بلیو دیٹ قرآن از این آتھینٹک سورس آف نوئنگ دا ٹروتھ. ہیئر آئی وڈ لائک ٹو گیو اے فارمولا اور اے کرائیٹیرین. امنگ اسکالرس اٹ از این ایکسپٹڈ فارمولا وچ دے کال ان کمپیرزن دیٹ وی انڈرسٹینڈ. ان عربک آلسو دس فارمولا از جنرلی ایکسپٹڈ ان دیز ورڈس, تورف الاشیاء بازدادہا. سو دس از این ایکسپٹڈ فارمولا. آئی کین سے اٹ از اے یونیورسل فارمولا. In comparison that we understand. So I would like to invite you to apply this formula on this, about this question. Here I would like to give two examples. First, about the word of God. Here you have a choice to compare between word of man and word of God. Quran claims that it contains the word of God. Then there are many other books that are word of man. So here we are in a position to compare between word of God and word of man. It is very easy. Now, I have several experience in this regard. Several practical experience. One experience I want to share you. It was February 1976. February 1976. At that time, there was a Muslim-Christian dialogue in Libya, in Libyan capital, that is Tripoli or Tripoli. Its Arabic title was Nadwatul Hiwar الاسلامی المسیحی. And its English title was Muslim Christian Dialogue. It was international dialogue. Near about 70 scholars from 70 countries participated. In this international conference, and the number of participants were the numbers of participants was near about 500 scholars, all were scholars, Muslim or Christian both. So it continued up to 1 week, but failed. The most contentious issue was that Christian side was not ready to accept that Quran was the word of God, while Muslim side insisted on this point. Muslim side persistently demanded that the other side must accept this theory, this concept that Quran is the word of God. But Christian side never accepted, and the dialogue ended without any result. Then it was decided that to conclude the dialogue, as a good gesture, we have to conclude the dialogue by recitation of both the scriptures, Quran and Injil, that is New Testament. So one Christian scholar, he was a Christian father. He was born in Lebanon. You know, Lebanon is an Arab country. So he was well versed in Arabic. Also, he was trained in Cairo. So he was knowing also the art of tilawat, art of recitation. So this Lebanon Christian scholar selected two passages, both Arabic, one from the Quran and one from the New Testament. From the Quran, he selected the last ruku of chapter Al-Baqarah. And from New Testament, he selected a passage from Luke. So this Christian father recited both the passages. First, the passage from the New Testament. Both were in Arabic. But you know, New Testament is a translated version, not original version, because original Injil is lost in history. Now only translation is available. No one knows what was the original language of Injil. You know, at that time, when Jesus Christ was in Palestine, at that time there were three languages, Greek and Roman and Hebrew. No one knows with certainty that what was the language of Jesus Christ. So present Injil is not original Injil, it is translation. So this Christian scholar recited an Arabic translation from the Injil, that is New Testament. Then the same Christian scholar recited a passage from the Quran, that is the last ruku of chapter Al-Baqarah. So it was a very strange experience. You can say that it was a terrible experience. Everyone was stunned. Everyone was bewildered. At that time, there were more than 500 people in the hall. Masrahatul Tahrir. It was Masrahatul Tahrir. So there were more than 500 people in that hall. Everyone was stunned. Why? Because that was a comparison between word of man and word of God. That was not simple recitation. It was a comparison between word of man and word of God. What he recited from Injil, that was word of man, because it was translation. And what he recited from the Quran, it was word of God, because it is not translation. It was the same word that was revealed by the angel to the prophet. So it was a comparison between the word of man and word of God. So what happened? Word of man proved that it was a word of man, and word of God proved that it was a word of God. The passage from Injil was very ordinary. It was like a common language, an ordinary language. But when that priest recited the Quran, it was a terrible experience. It was so terrible that I cannot say it in words. It was the same scene which is mentioned in the Quran. You know, when Prophet Moses threw his staff, S-T-A-F-F staff, a rod, when Prophet Moses threw his staff, it became a serpent, living serpent. So at that time, there were magicians. You know, at that time, in Egypt, there were great magicians. So King Pharaoh organized a show. He asked for those magicians. They showed their magic, their false magic. Then Prophet Moses threw his staff and it became serpent. The Quran says in Surah Al-Araf that فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ بَا يَفْكُونَ what happened. فَإِذَا يَتَّلْقَفُ مَا يَفْكُونَ, یعنی موسیٰ اسٹاف سالوڈ دیئر فالس ہوڈ. تَلْقَفُ مِنْس سالو. موسیٰ دا اسٹاف آف موسیٰ اور راڈ آف موسیٰ سالوڈ دا فالس ہوڈ آف of the magicians. So this happened in Masrahat al-Tahrir. The word of God swallowed the word of man. Everyone was stunned. Then after the conclusion, we came out. We were invited to a tea. So there were several tables and chairs. I sat at a chair. So by chance, the other side, the man sat on the other chair before me was a person from Vatican. He was Dr. Anthony Sulikal. Dr. Anthony Sulikal. He was a member of the Vatican team. So he was also in obsession at that time. I asked that Dr. Anthony Sulikal, now you have saw a comparison, you have heard the words of both the books, now do you believe that Quran is a book of God after this experience, after this comparison? So I asked, now do you believe that Quran is a word of God? Dr. Anthony Sulikal said yes. Under that obsession, he was not able to deny. So he accepted. That comparison he listened in the hall was so powerful that he was not in a position to deny. He said yes, but after some seconds he felt that it is quite contradictory to that stand which he has opted in the hall, in the discussion. So he corrected his statement. He said, yes, but it was for ancient Arabia. Yes, the Quran is the word of God, but it was for the ancient Arabia. This was my experience. I have some other experience like this. So if you compare, I am giving you the formula of comparison. In comparison, that you understand. So apply this formula. So if you compare, you will find that all the books are in word of man, and Quran is exceptionally a book that is in the word of God. Quran is the only book under the sky. You can, I invite you to compare Quran with any other book, religious or secular. So you will find that all the books are word of, all the books were written in the word of man. Quran is the only book that is in the word of God. So this is the first principle which compels us to believe that Quran is an authentic source of knowing what is truth and what is untruth, what is right, what is wrong. Then also there is another criterion, that is a logical criterion. Here also I invite you to compare between Quran and other books, other scholars, other thinkers, other philosophers. I'm sure that you will find that Quran proves that it is the book of divine ideology, and all other books are only human ideology. So here the comparison between, here the comparison is between human ideology and divine ideology. So I'm sure that you will find that Quran is the only book that can claim that it contains the divine ideology, while other books are based on human ideology. I will give you some examples. First of all, I will say, according to my experience, according to my study, that Quran was revealed in the first quarter of 7th century. Quran was revealed in the first quarter of 7th century. So after a long period, no one is in a position to disprove any concept of the Quran. The concept of the Quran, the theory of the Quran, the ideology of the Quran is still today is as correct as it was in 7th century. All these centuries failed to disprove anything, any ideology of the Quran, while other scholars and other philosophers, the ideology of other philosophers, the concepts of other philosophers have failed during these centuries. For example, let us take Aristotle. Aristotle claimed that Earth is the center of the universe and Sun is revolving around Earth. Our planet Earth is in the center and Sun is revolving around the planet Earth. But you know, after Copernicus, it was disproved. Copernicus and other scientists proved that this theory was wrong. This theory was wrong. Then, you see, Karl Barth was a great philosopher, a great thinker. He claimed that there is a dialectical materialism that controls the history. Dialectical materialism that controls the history. It means that every time, in every age, the historical process produces some enemies, enemies. For example, in our age, according to Marxian analysis, labor class was enemy of capitalist class. So Marx claimed that labor class is an enemy of capitalist class, and according to the law of history, according to the historical laws, there will be clash, and in the end, labor class will be victorious, and capitalist class will finish from the planet Earth. But it doesn't happen. You know, capitalist class is everywhere, even in Russia. Labor class failed to finish the capitalist class. You know, these communist people, the followers of Marx, were able to establish an empire, a great empire. The center of it is empire was Russia. It is Moscow. I visited Moscow. I have saw all those things. So they, after 75 years, this empire existed up to 75 years, but this empire failed. They achieved the status of superpower, but they failed to abolish the capitalism. They failed to abolish the private property. They failed to abolish the free economy. Even after 75 years. So it means that Marx was wrong. Engels was wrong. Lenin was wrong. Feuerbach was wrong. But you cannot point out a single item in the Quran that was disproved by science or disproved by history. Then you can see there were many Nazi leaders like Gandhi, like Rousseau, like Nelson Mandela, so many nationalist leaders, they claim that the source of all evil is foreign rule. Foreign rule is the source of all evil. If we establish national rule in our country, then we'll find that there is no evil. There is a ideal society. They claim that nation society is ideal society, and it is only foreign loot that is source of all evils. So you see, everywhere in the world, they successfully removed the foreign rule. in India, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in South Africa, everywhere in the world. In at almost in 100 countries. But you know, in every country there are all kinds of evils. All kinds of evil persist even after the foreign rule. You can experience in India. There is corruption, there is evils, there is anarchy. So their assessment, their claim failed to prove its veracity. All these so-called national leaders failed. But you cannot point out a single item in the Quran that was disproved by the history, by the scientific researches. Then, in America, there was a great, great scholar. His name was what was his name? He claimed that man is a product of his environment. Man is the product of environment. What was the name of Maria? His name was, he's a very well-known professor, American professor. So he claimed that man is the product of his environment. And his theory was able to, his theory spread everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the university, it was a part of curriculum up to 80 years. His name was Watson. But now it is disproved. Now it is proved after further researches that all those conditioning may be deconditioned. All those conditioning of environment may be deconditioned. So deconditioning is now proved as a fact. Deconditioning is possible. Although it is fact that people are conditioned in their environment, but also it is proved that is artificial, that this kind of conditioning is artificial. And it is possible to decondition that conditioning. So Watson was disproved. The theory of Watson was disproved. But you cannot point out a single item in the Quran that was disproved by further researches, by the development of science, by the process of history. So you, if you go through this issue, you will find dozens and dozens example that all those philosophers and reformers and thinkers were disproved in the later period of history. But no theory of the Quran, no ideology of the Quran, no concept of the Quran was disproved in the later history. So, after this comparison, here you are in a position to compare the ideology of man and ideology of God. Divine ideology and human ideology. You can compare between the two. And I'm certain I'm certain that you will find that the divineology, the divine ideology has proved its veracity in every period of history. But human ideology failed to prove its veracity. So here I mention two aspects. One, two aspects of comparison. Here I mention two aspects of comparison. One, word of man and word of God. And the second, human ideology and divine ideology. And after this comparison, you have no option except to accept this claim of Quran that it is the book of God. ذَلَكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book of God. There is no doubt about it. Now, after this comparison and after this establishment, now we are in a position to find the answers of our questions. For example, there is a question, how the universe was created? This is a question in our mind. You will find the answer in the question that it was God who created this universe. You have to believe this statement. After that comparison, it is now established that Quran is a book of God. So you have no option other than to accept all those statements you find in the Quran. So it was our question that who is the creator of the universe? Quran says yes, it is God who created the universe. So you have to accept it. Then there is a question, from where we can find the guidance? We as a man need a guidance, how to live in this world, how to live in our family, in society, and in with other people. Here you have to believe this assertion that Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the prophet of God. You have to accept his guidance. When you have accepted that Quran is the word of God, after that comparison, now you have no option other than to accept this statement that Muhammad is the prophet of God and you have to follow his guidance. Then there is a question, what after death? Here also, Quran gives an answer in a very clear manner, in a clear word, that there are two periods of life, pre-death period and post-death period. Death is not the end of life, it is the beginning of new period of life. So, according to the Quran, there is a world hereafter. So we have to believe it. We have to believe it that there is a world after this, of this world. There is life after life. You have to believe there is life after life. There is a world after this world. Then there is a question. What is the fate of man in hereafter? What is the fate of man in the world hereafter? Quran again tells you. Quran again tells you that there is a day of judgment. In that day of judgment, you will be present before God. And God will issue His verdict, His judgment. Then, according to your present record, according to your present record, you will be given either hell or paradise. Present world is a testing ground. So according to the present world, you will be given you will face either punishment or reward. You will be given either hell. You will face either punishment or reward. You will be given either hell or paradise. So you have to accept it. When our comparison proved without failure that Quran is a book of difference, and this difference proves that it is a word of God. It is very, very clear that Quran is a book with a difference. It is proved that Quran is with a difference. And this difference proves that Quran is the word of God. Quran is the book of God. And when Quran is the book of God, we have to accept its statement. We have no option. We have no option. We have to believe with all certainty that God is the creator of the universe. Muhammad the guide of all mankind. Quran is the book of God. And death is not the end of life. After death, there is hell and paradise. All these statements, we have no option other than to accept all these statements. Then there are some other aspects. We face some other questions. For example, everyone has some complaints. Every individual, every community has some complaints about others' conspiracy, about others' atrocities, about others' zulm. So everyone as an individual and every nation as a nation has some complaint against others. Here also we have to question. Here also we have a question. Whether our complaint is correct? Well, whether we are correct to complain against others? But when we read the Quran, you will find a clear answer. Clear answer. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وما اصابكم من مصیبت فما کسبت ایدیکم. All these things you are suffering, all those sufferings are just result of your own deed. All those things which you call injustice, you call conspiracy, you call atrocities, all these things are just result of your own deed. You have created all these things. There is no other conspirator. So you have to blame yourself. You have to blame yourself. You have to go to introspection. You have to correct yourself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. There are near about a dozen verses in the Quran that clearly state that there is no one to blame except you. So blame yourself. Go to introspection. Find your own fault. This is the clear message of the Quran. So again, we have to accept this. Again, we have no option other than to accept this Quranic principle, that it is wrong to blame others. I have to blame myself. As an individual and as a nation both. It is very, very clear in the Quran. Very, very clear. So all those complaints, all those protests are false. False complaint, false protest. Our whole journalism is full of complaint. So all this journalism is false journalism. All our present journalism is false journalism, because it's full of complaint, full of protest, full of conspiracy, full of zulm. And according to the Quran, all these things are baseless. So every question we have in our mind, we have to ask from the Quran. You have to seek the answer in the Quran. And you will find. Because Quran says, تَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. تَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In Quran there is detail of all things. تَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In Quran there are details of all things. Details does not mean that details of science, details of philosophy, details of agriculture, details of horticulture. No. This kind of thinking is wrong. This kind of thinking is wrong. Quran is not a book of science. Quran is not a book of agriculture. Quran is not a book of horticulture. Quran is not a book of social sciences. Quran is not a book of political science. Quran is a book of man. Quran is a book of spirituality. Quran is a book of truth. Quran is a book of divine guidance. Quran is a book of prophetic vision. All these things you can find in the Quran. So tafsir likulisha means all those things that are important in term of spirituality, in term of religion, in term of truth, you can find the answer, the questions, the answer of these questions. For example, if you take a copy of the Quran and start reading, you'll find that the very first verse is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Thanks to God, the Lord of the universe. It means that all those blessings come from God. All those blessings, all the life support system, everything comes from God. The sunlight, the air, the oxygen, the water, the mountain, the ocean, solar system, everything, without any exception, comes from God. So you have to acknowledge, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Thanks to God, the Lord of the universe. So in the very first verse of the Quran, you will find this principle that God is giver and you are receiver. God is giver and you are taker. God is all powerful and you are all powerless. God is great and you are not great. So you have to surrender to God. You have to acknowledge to God. You have to believe that all those blessings come from God. And when you believe like this, then you feel a thrill. That thrill is, it is that thrill which is called thanks. And it is that thrill that is called thanks to God. Thanks to God means you are expressing your thrill before God. It's not simply a lip service. It's not simply a lip service. It is an expression of thrill, expression of finding, expression of discovery, expression of realization. So when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it's not a lip service. You are expressing your heart, you are expressing your mind, you are expressing your thrill, you are expressing your love towards God. You are expressing your soul. So it is the central theme of Quran. It is the central theme of the Quran that you have to discover God with all those blessings. You have to discover God that in this sense that God is giver and I am taker. You have to discover God as Malik Yawmiddin, Lord of the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawmiddin. You have to discover God as the Lord of the universe, and you have to discover God as a Lord of the Judgment, Lord of the Day of Judgment, Malik Yawmiddin. So when you discover God in this sense, that He is the creator of the world he is the Lord of the day of the judgment, then you feel a great, great sentiments, great thrills. You will fill with God consciousness. And then you will say, Alhamdulillah. Thanks to God. So Alhamdulillah is not simply a lip service. It is presenting your whole personality to God. So this is the Quran. Quran is the book of truth. Quran is the dictionary of truth. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.